Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Gigantic Pop. 524-24. Welcome to Gigantic Pop. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Raj Giri. Today, well, tonight there's a pre-taped SmackDown. King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring is tomorrow. Matt Morgan and I will be talking about that immediately after it ends on this channel. And then, AEW's got Double or Nothing coming up this Sunday. Mercedes Moné back in the ring. Matt, are you excited? And is this the turning point for AEW's women's division?
No, of course it's not. It should be, but it's not because of how they put her out there on television. She came in as a babyface, and they thought cocky, arrogant, full of themselves, which is her character, and I like the character, but they miscast her from day one. And instead of all the talents they could have put Mercedes Moné against, they decided to find the most lovable, huggable, whoever the hell that girl is, I want to cheer for her, type of character they could have possibly found in the world, not just AEW, but the world.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, they screwed the pooch with this big time.
I often sarcastically use this phrase, but let me be sincere. Willow Nightingale is America's sweetheart.
Yes.
And not who you want to put Mercedes Moné against.
No.
Well, I do think they are turning Mercedes heel. It looks like they're kind of going with it.
But that's the timeout. But we still have to smack them around for getting it wrong, because that's not what their intent was. You know that's not what their intent was.
No, for sure. I mean, they thought she was going to be this big, giant baby face.
Yes.
And, you know, bringing her in months early when she can't wrestle and just cutting promos, doing I'm the richest, I'm the baddest. That's only going to work as a heel and only work for so long before it gets redundant. So I know Tony Khan wanted that big ratings pop. You know, the ratings were going down. Unfortunately, that didn't work, obviously. But they kind of rushed Mercedes coming in, and they wanted to do it in Boston. They had that date and that venue booked.
That was right to do. He did it the right way with the facility and where it was held at. He just brought her in the wrong way, not with CEO Chance. Like, who can relate to that as a babyface fan? Come on.
Yeah. Raj Giri was like, oh, my God, a character finally that speaks to me.
That was good.
So, it'll be interesting to see what it does. It's been all promos so far. We'll see. We'll see what happens post that. But King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, now it looks like it's set. Spoiler, cover yours if you don't want to know this.
No, I went.
Looks like it's going to be Nia Jax versus Lyra Valkyria in the finals of Queen of the Ring tomorrow, based on SmackDown, which was taped earlier in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Come out. How did Jade Cargill get eliminated again?
Jade got disqualified.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that chair, which was that was a stupid ending.
Wait. Of course it was. But what happened to Bianca too?
Nia beats her tonight.
I'm glad I'm not going to watch it, because I would have been angry.
But you are going to watch. You guys are doing the podcast tomorrow afterwards.
Well, I'm not going to watch that match. I refuse to. That's just in protest. What a horrible booking decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the finals. You want to know the finals of King of the Ring? Who's going to be tomorrow?
Fine.
Gunther versus Randy Orton.
Okay.
Now okay. Triple H announced earlier this week that the winner, the King of the Ring, will get a title shot at SummerSlam against the men's champion of their brand. The Queen of the Ring will get the title shot against the women's champion of their respective brand. So I got to think
at SummerSlam,
I mean, and Randy Orton, right? Because Randy Orton versus Cody makes more sense, I think, right now than Cody and Gunther. Gunther and Drew, I'm assuming Drew's going to win the title. Gunther versus Drew doesn't make sense, and neither does
You're right. You're 100% right. You could steal a month, maybe even 2 months storyline with the legacy angle between Randy and Cody. Nia, this is a good crowning achievement for her, right? She's a monster in the women's division. She's not going to be the world champion, but this gives her something. So I could see that. I just, again, from day one, said that don't put Jade, don't put Bianca in it at all then, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you've got to think it's Nia versus Bayley, right? That's
Hang on, time out. Glenn doesn't think so. Glenn definitely thinks Valkyrie, whatever the hell her name is going to win.
No, I like Lyra Valkyria, but come on, let's be real for a second here. She's just not ready for a credible title shot. I'm not saying she isn't a good wrestler. I'm not saying that she doesn't have a high ceiling in this company. I'm just saying right now.
Yeah.
Like for SummerSlam, they would have to do a lot to build her up on SummerSlam, but you put Nia versus Bayley, Nia versus Liv potentially the poster. People are too, that's a SummerSlam match right now. Lyra will get there, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's too soon. If they didn't have those steps, I'd almost like Lyra winning it because it really catapults her. But she's not ready for a title shot at SummerSlam. Same as Gunther is ready, but I just think now SummerSlam, it's going to be two nights. Who knows if it'll be two nights next year, but it's definitely two nights in 2026. Minneapolis Stadium, two nights. So they're going WrestleMania style. So you need to start establishing SummerSlam now as a WrestleMania type main event. So you need to put on the biggest matches possible. Lear is not there yet. And with that, I think you got to get The Rock. If he can, I think he's got to wrestle at the SummerSlam to kind of build it and make it known that it's now – it's no longer the number two. It's now a co-number one event with WrestleMania.
Who do you have him wrestle then?
Roman.
How far away are we?
So that's August, early August. So
we're like 10 weeks, 11 weeks from SummerSlam, right?
Isn't he filming like two or three back-to-back-to-back movies or not?
He's doing Smashing Machine right now. So it would have to be, it would be a short build if they did him and Roman. But, you know, obviously it wouldn't be a title match.
And that's not some major.
You need something big.
But in no disrespect to that movie, I knew Mark Kirk. I just don't think that that's something that's going to be some mainline cinema hit.
Right.
Like that's going to be not an underground hit, maybe an underground hit, right? But it's not going to be like Moana, okay? It's not.
Right. Yeah, it's A24 who's making that movie. They made Civil War. They made the Iron Claw. So, you know, they don't make those like Avengers-type, Top Gun-type blockbusters. But
so then maybe he has some flexibility on the schedule of it because they're lucky to have him being willing to play Marker in that.
Yeah. Have you seen those pictures of The Rock on set of that movie?
That does not look anything like him at all. None of it looks like him.
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, he doesn't really look like Mark Kerr either, but
no, he doesn't.
He looked like a completely different person, though. I would not have recognized him if you know the tweet didn't come through. Like, hey, this is the first.
Okay,
look
so you obviously saw that social media post that went around virally that show like real life Mark Kerr and The Rock. Even real life Mark Kerr does not look like the version of the real life Mark Kerr photo they use. Mark Kerr is as white as the back of my ass. And that photo, he doesn't look it. So you could tell they tried to find like the right kind of photo that somehow in that moment, he looks similar to The Rock's portrayal of it because the Mark I met didn't look anything like that in real life.
Yeah.
I finally watched Baywatch this past weekend with The Rock.
Wow. How was that set up?
You're talking about The Rock's acting career. I know I was flipping channels on the bootleg cable I was like, oh, Baywatch is on. My wife's out of town. I need something to do, you know, because I'm in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Bad ideas are around every corner in Vegas. So I was like, oh, I'll watch Baywatch on Paramount Plus. I thought it was actually kind of funny. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street funny, but it was fine. He was good.
Those movies were funny, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 21 Jump Street movies were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up doing a light amount of gambling this weekend, only down a couple $100.
You up? Okay.
No. I broke even, though, most of the time.
What do you play?
I was playing a lot of Ultimate Hold'em, where it's you get two cards, and then there's the five community cards, and you play against the dealer. So, but if you could find a table where it's like a $5 bet, and you hope you get the Royal Flush and hit the Progressive, I don't know.
Why not increase your chances in doing roulette?
I did play a little roulette, and the funny thing is I was like, I'm going to go bet the number 33, and I walk up, and I just missed 33. And then 33 kept hitting. I kept seeing it while I was playing poker. So I was like, I'm going to go over there and finally bet 33. And then I hit 33 again. So I was like, got back up with that. It was good. Yeah, gambling is it's super dumb. But, you know, when you need something to pass the time, if you can get out without losing very much, it can be worthwhile. I don't know. Vegas, man. Vegas. But this weekend's like packed with stuff going on. We've got King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, Double or Nothing. In town here, Caitlin Clark is in town with the Indiana Fever playing the Aces.
You're gonna go watch it.
We're gonna try. We're gonna, if we can get tickets are like super expensive for that game.
I have a feeling she's gonna have her coming out party against you guys.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because the Fever's not doing great, so she's doing great, but the Fever's not.
They're still burying her though, even though she's getting 20 points and shooting from half court. It ain't enough. Still,
yeah,
it's crazy.
So we're gonna try and do that. Went and saw Furiosa last night at midnight. Maybe this will finally be a movie people go see. It's the prequel to Mad Max Fury Road in the Mad Max series. It was good. Did you guys see Fury Road?
Mm-mm.
I did. I forgot it like as soon as I saw it.
It's like Matt, those,
like I was like entertained watching it.
Yeah, Matt, it is like an hour and a half long car chase that is just insane, like big rigs
in a desert again.
Yeah, in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, flamethrowers, like dudes playing guitar with a big stack of amps on the back of a truck, like giving a metal soundtrack to it. It's nuts. Fury Road. I think you'll enjoy it if you watch it.
How do I watch it?
It's on HBO Max.
Theater.
Okay.
Furiosa is in theaters. No, Furiosa is in theaters. Fury Road is 10 years old. But it's weird though. I mean, we talked about The Fall Guy a couple weeks ago. Like all these movies keep coming out and people aren't going to see them. Like it's weird how the movies aren't fully back yet. You know, we haven't had like a Barbie or Oppenheimer type hit.
I don't know if they will be back. I kind of feel like times have changed and you need to get something really unique and special to really drive people to the theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Ooh. Fall Guy's already streaming.
All right. I don't care. Moving on.
Yes. Matt wants to talk about Matt's like an up and coming battle rapper who's like, who can I start a feud with? Who can I start beef with to make some headlines? Who can
I'm
I call
47.
Out?
No, I'm not. No, that's not
but
true.
But you got that hungry mentality. You're hustling. You're grinding. Matt saw 8 Mile as a young man and it has stuck with him ever since. So, Matt, this week, Your nemesis, Alvarez and Meltzer. What are they doing now?
It's only Dave, right? This
it's
week
only Dave
because,
this time.
Because you actually agreed with Alvarez. Because let me kind of set the stage and let Matt go.
Please.
So earlier this week, or actually the last couple of weeks, so on Dynamite and Collision, 1 week Toni Storm's a heel, the next week she's a babyface, the next week Serena Deeb's a heel, the next week she's a babyface. And Brian Alvarez was, you know, in my opinion, correctly criticizing that, you know, there was no consistency. Dave is going off about how, well, you gotta go with the audience and it's okay to keep changing. And she's a baby face, but sometimes she's a heel. And before I let you go, Matt, I just got to say, yes, that is true for a particular match. Like if Drew is going in against Damian Priest, he should be a babyface every week leading into that match, not trading off a week here, a week there. unless you're in your hometown or something like that. And the way they've been doing it with Serena Deeb, I'll let you go, Matt. What do you think?
So Dave was incredibly off base. Shocker to everybody. Very wrong. And I'm for once going to take up and stick up for Brian Alvarez, who I've done these shows about 100% bashing and crapping on and dumping on for his opinions on other issues concerning CM Punk. But this time he's right. I watched it and I was very, very impressed with how Brian Alvarez kept trying to bring Dave back to the forefront of, again, I'm going to remind you, Dave, there's no baby faces or heels in this company. There just isn't. And Dave kept trying to stick up for it. And then Brian would give him like 10 examples of whatever wrestler he named as to how it fluctuates dependent on the audience that very evening. And then Dave, instead of saying, okay, yeah, you're right, I see your point, he's like, no, it's all up to the audience on any given night. And it's, no, what happened to you, Dave? Like, you, we're not stuck in the world, okay, of with oversized, cheesy baby faces and dastardly mustache-spinning heels, right? No, we're not. But at the same time, you have to have a very set-up bad guy, very set-up good guy. I'm not saying good guys got to be squeaky clean, but you have to have that mix in order to make wrestling work. Everybody knows that. It's been that way since the beginning of time. It'll always go out that way. Yes, well, the Attitude Era intervened here and there where fans start to cheer the bad guy. But look what happened when that happened. They flip-flopped the white meat baby face to then become the heel in those scenarios versus an NWO or versus a Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, no better example. And they listened to the audience that night because that's where it was trending. It's not trending that way now. And AEW does not do a good job of setting their baby faces up for not failure, but for success. Because imagine being Serena Deeb going out there on a stage on AEW, okay, and talking about a near-death experience, talking about seizures, and trying to make a PSA out of it at the same time by saying, hey, folks, there's many of you in this building that probably know what I'm talking about. This is a very serious thing. I'm very proud I was able to bounce back from this. You never know when another one's going to come. It's kind of scary. Ultimate babyface promo. And then to have a Tony Storm come out there and just completely shit all over that. And at the end of it saying, I don't give a shit what you just said right now. And the fans cheered it, right? They cheered it. And Dave is like applauding this, like, this is great stuff. No, it's not great stuff. It's because, as usual, AEW does a piss poor job of setting up their baby faces for success. Horrible. And Brian did an amazing job. And that's why I wanted to talk about it and give him his props finally, because he was adamant that Dave was wrong about this. And Dave did his normal, this one time, I got. Before saying his next sentence to try to defend himself versus just saying, like, he needs to chill out and just back off and be like, okay, maybe I am a little bit out of touch at this point. When I'm having the guys that I've given 5-star matches to, 7-star matches to, saying they should not have a star ratings over people like Kurt Angle, maybe something went awry here. Something.
Yeah, I just think it's hurt the story, and I think you see. I mean, you see it in the ratings. This past Wednesday night, that quarter with Tony Storm, the Tony Storm quarter, it dropped huge. It was a gigantic drop. And I felt like if the story was working, you got Tony Storm as one of the most over people in the company, then you wouldn't be seeing that. You wouldn't be seeing the big drops.
So then it's simple. You book her as a face. End of story. Book Tony Storm as a face doing all of her shenanigans that she's doing now. Well, Matt, those are heel issues. Okay, I'm okay with that. As long as you book her against a bigger heel that can then, when it's time for her to start selling, she can get sympathy during the heat spot of the match where the heel's beating up the face. That's what this all comes down to. Otherwise, guess what? And Kane taught me this early on in my career. If you don't have any of that, then here's what happens. Fans are not going to start chanting like this. What they do during the heat spot and the heat part of the match with, the heels beating up the face, they're not going to do that. Instead, they're just going to start cheering for what's called the anticipation of the well, tonight's babyface in this one circumstance versus Serena Deeb, making her come up and making her come back. That's the difference between everybody in the arena reaching out to Jeff Hardy, who's reaching out to them while getting his ass kicked, or Sami Zayn, or people like that don't know how to sell, versus just being, okay, I'm supposed to start chanting now at this part, I guess. Hey, what do you think, sis? Let's go. Okay, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, that, it doesn't work. And it shows and it illustrates it on television. It just does. And they book themselves into these corners all the time. You do not let the audience, and I can't believe I'm saying this because it comes from a very evil man who said it to me. When I'm like, Mr. McMahon, I never, Mr. McMahon, I would never call him that. Vince, I was just here on television 6 months ago and they saw me not stutter. Like, I'm going to start stuttering now. I don't, like, can we say I got hit by a car? Is there something we can say that happened at least to cause it, sir? He's like, no, I tell them what to think. Legit, that's what he said. So while that's not good and that's evil, it's terrible, you still have to have a cross of both where it's supposed to be the wrestlers dictating to the audience who's the heel, who's the face, and you arrange your match around, no disrespect to fans, is an evil word, but to manipulate them emotionally to come along on this ride, to tell this story. That's your job as a professional wrestler. Other wrestlers aren't going to say because they're still actively wrestling. I'm not. But that's the goal, to manipulate them enough to emotionally invest in your storyline and in your character. But how are you supposed to do that if you're supposed to be a heel nonstop, but tonight you're going to be the babyface one time, but they put you in a ring with another babyface that's not going to get legitimate heat on you? It's an uphill battle for Tony, no matter how good of a match that is, and it's going to be a very well-executed wrestling match. Serena Deeb's one of the best I've seen in the business in the last 20 years of being a female wrestler. She's incredibly good, but she has to be the heel. She has to be the heel for this to work, and that's not how they booked this.
Yeah, until last week, that definitely, I mean, again, it was all over the place. Now I think right now, until Britt Baker comes back, the biggest money match they have in the women's division is Toni Storm versus Mercedes. And from the beginning, you have to have Toni Storm as the babyface, Mercedes as the heel. Establish that from the beginning. And then by the time the match happens, they'll have that much more heat on Mercedes.
What about, you said Britt Baker, though. What about Britt Baker?
I just don't know what her injury status is. But yeah, when she comes back, I think that's the biggest match that they'd have. Like, if Mercedes wins the title.
You would think so.
And Britt challenging Mercedes.
Yeah, no, you would think so. So again, at the end of the day, I'm giving Alvarez his flowers for once. He did a good job on this and didn't back off of Dave and his shenanigans and his mutterings. And hopefully you heard all that.
It's interesting, and it's funny you mentioned her response to Serena Deeb. I'm kind of just sick of WWE did this recently too with Candice LeRae and Maxine Dupri of the like, oh my god, can you believe they went there promo. It's not clever, it's not interesting. I think you can do some massive heel stuff to get a character, to show that a character is like really mean or evil. But it's just strange to me sometimes the things that somebody's like, oh, this is going to get a response.
But bro, that's my point. AEW is picking the wrong talents to do this with. They picked the most over girl on their roster to come out and tell this other young lady, oh, the seizures you went through, oh, that near death experience. I don't give a shite. Like that's not, and the crowd cheered it.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Every night on AEW is the Raw after Mania. But no, I think it'll be interesting to see Tony versus Mercedes. That's a huge match. That should legit main event, not this co-main event, not this multiple main events. That's your main event. Something.
And Glenn, that'll work. That match will work because now Mercedes has no choice but to really crank it up with the CEO. What does that even mean, by the way? Could we all break this down, please? I guess you can't say I'm boss and all this other shit, but you're the CEO of what? Of what? It's obviously not the company. We all know who the CEO is. Do you have Tony Khan's job now? Are we supposed to just go along with it?
Wait a second. Matt, this is why we've been doing this together too long. This is why we've been doing this too long. Because like 5 years ago, somebody found a clip when I was like, and Sasha Banks, the legit boss. Matt, what's she the boss of? What's she managing? What's she doing? And you were like, it's a fucking gimmick. Who gives a shit? we've been doing this too long now that this is rubbed off on you now.
I need to see it.
And you're asking these questions.
I need to see it. I do.
The boss is a little different. I mean, Bruce has called himself the boss for decades. You know,
he's the boss of rock and roll.
But he's not really the boss. There's no boss of rock and roll. The CEO is an actual title. You know,
Steve Miller say you're not the boss of me, Bruce Springsteen?
Probably.
Bob Seger ain't taking orders from nobody. That's all I know. He's an independent contractor.
I don't mind the CEO thing as much. I just think they fumbled. I feel like they fumbled her. Fumbled her entrance.
CEO.
Yeah.
Please cheer for me. Please cheer for me.
Why don't we bring Leva Bates back? She can be the comptroller, and you know, we can get other corporate titles involved.
I do like that when the Rock did use the final boss and calling himself the boss, because he literally actually was.
Hello, that's what he is. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. That's why
he's
big
and jacked and everything on top of it, and we got this pipsqueak out there saying that she's the CEO of a company she's been in for 35 seconds.
Yeah. Blech. Matt, I think you need to get some business going with TNA and go back to be accounts payable Matt Morgan.
I know, accounts receivable. Yeah.
And just be like, you can say, this invoice is closed.
kind of like a modern IRS.
It's just not the same. I'm not trying to be a douche Christie's with AEW. I'm not. But it's just such a different thing. Like, how do you have swag with CEO? Like, no, you're not. It's Tony Khan. He's reminded of this, like, ad nauseum. There's a whole fight about it. Come on.
The weird thing, and because it's NXT, this kind of went unnoticed. Kiana James tried to do the like boss babe character. You know, I'm a businesswoman. She was walking around with her handbag all the time.
I know that character. I didn't understand why she had a handbag on. No, I did.
Yeah. They had a feud where she was trying to buy Alan Henley. Her parents owned a bar. And she was like, this match is for the bar.
Can I just pull a timeout here and say, folks, can we please be professional on this podcast right now? And you have dogs barking in the background. Do something about it.
Not here.
I want to see who popped first. I'm joking. But for me, just knowing the surface level of that character, I actually like that girl's character for what it's worth.
I like throwbacks like that. But so with Mercedes, okay, let me give you this as an example. To say CEO, this should be like, I'm here to take over and I'm going to use a women's division to take over AEW. Like, you could do something with this.
Okay.
You know?
And I'm a billionaire. I made so much money breaking records for women's wrestling that I've lost freaking count. So I'm not a millionaire. Let's get it straight, Tony. I'm a billionaire. And P.S., I'm here to take your fucking company. I would be all for that.
In fact, Matt, here we go. Her first promo sort of said, Tony Khan, I'm here as a CEO because you don't know shit about women's wrestling. And anyone that's watched AEW knows that that's a fact.
I'm in. I'd be in. Wholeheartedly I'd be in.
That would get people talking.
That's enough CEO talk, right? We got 20 minutes.
It's true. Now
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Now let's talk about the CTO of AEW. I don't know. What else is going on? What else is bothering you?
A couple of quick hits. MJF. Yeah, I've been saying on this podcast for a while now that I'd heard he'd resigned, and that turned out to be the case. He had resigned last year, and he should be coming back soon. So that's good news for AEW. The ratings have kind of been at a low, multi-year low, really the lowest they've been since NXT moved to Tuesday nights. The attendance has been dropping big. So that's good news because MJF is one of those guys that will definitely help a lot. The other guy that could help a lot. Yes, absolutely. But there's two right now, in my opinion, in AEW, MJF and Kenny Omega, and they're both out. So we have that with MJF and Kenny Omega just underwent surgery a week and a half ago for diverticulitis. So he's recovering. No timetable on when he'll be back. You know, Brock Lesnar was out for a while after his surgery. So hopefully he gets better soon, because he is sorely missed.
I agree with everything you just said.
Absolutely. A couple super chats here. The King Ellie Show 499 saying definitely Gunther's winning because Punk is going to cost Drew at Clash of the Castle. Gunther beats Priest at SummerSlam.
Well, hang on. Definitely Gunther is winning. Punk cost Drew Clash. Who's Drew wrestling at Clash?
That's Priest, right?
It's probably going to be Priest. Yeah, that's kind of right. No way. Gunther versus Priest is not, you don't not have Drew win the title in Scotland at Clash in front of that's going to be their biggest gate for an arena show ever. So you got to have Drew win. Priest with the title is not doing it. You can't have him hold it for another couple of months. It's got to be Drew and CM Punk at SummerSlam.
I could see it go either way for the world championship between Gunther and or Drew. I could.
And we'll do a quick King of the Ring picks here at the end. But I think Randy Orton versus Cody makes more sense right now.
Do you think people care about our picks, honestly?
Sorry. We have a bunch of chats asking us to who we think are going to win certain matches.
I can't read them, so my apologies.
People bet money, Matt, based on what Raj Giri picks.
There we go.
The odds lines move in Vegas every time he opens his mouth because they know that he's a smart money pick.
100% on the last two WWE PLEs, at least WrestleMania Night 2 and
WrestleMania Night 2. If you only count WrestleMania Night 2, I'm 100%.
Absolutely. And Backlash.
Peter Bahi, $5, saying, what do you guys think the ceiling is for Brock Anderson and Kerry Morton? Can they be second generation stars like Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
Not Brock Anderson. I mean, no offense.
No offense either.
He could be a good tag wrestler or something.
No. With respect, his physicality, his look. I know Arn wasn't a body guy either, but Arn was thick and just dastardly and was vicious. And it was believable back in the 80s. In today's day and age, I'm not saying you have to be super cut or super jacked, but at the same time, I mean, what's the guy from ECW that was supposed to be an Anderson, remember?
CW.
CW Anderson had more credibility in his work in the ring of being an Anderson, even though he had no relation to any of them. No, I don't see it at all, with respect.
And it's correct. and it's charisma too, right?
Yes.
Like Adam Cole is not an imposing figure of, when you look at him, but he's got so much charisma.
Freak. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kerry Morton, I just have not seen enough of him to comment on that.
A lot of people talk big about him, but again, is it just because he's Ricky's son? I need to see more. I need to see him against better talents too. That where he's not just listening, but he's eventually getting to the point where he can start calling the match on the fly at the level he's at right now. And then I'll be able to make that judgment.
Yeah.
What else we got, Rosh?
What else do we got? We have Triple H announcing Stiffs, which we talked about. MJF staying with AEW. Yeah, I think running down the King of the Ring tournament and maybe talking also a little bit about Double or Nothing.
You know, you said you want to make picks, so get the card open, make picks.
Yeah, I didn't know. Glenn, did you want to run through it, or you want me to?
Well, it's your idea. Why don't you run through it?
Let me find another
thing. All right. Let me bring it up.
Yeah, no, like, everybody wants to run through it, so they have to be the one to call it up and run it down.
All right, here we go. I got it. All right, so men's King of the Ring. We got Randy Orton versus Gunther. Probably, in my opinion, probably... I don't know, the least predictable match on the show. Well, that and the women's title match. But,
no.
Go ahead.
Gunther's winning that. Hello.
Randy Orton. Because it's for a title shot at SummerSlam, I think they're going to do Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. So I think it's Randy Orton.
Oh, that does make sense. That does make sense. But go ahead.
If they didn't have that title match stipulation, I would have said
No. That makes sense. You're right. It does.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Glenn? Gunther losing is a big, still feels.
I don't see it. That's why I don't see him losing, but.
But we'll see.
So, Glenn,
you have to pick one. Who are you picking?
Okay, yeah. I pick Gunther, and he's going to challenge Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam for the World
Heavyweight. But then it's heel versus heel. And what about CM Punk?
Drew can turn face.
Punk ain't ready yet. Yeah, what do you mean?
He'll be ready by SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, he did say SummerSlam to match you, right? Okay, next.
Cody Rhodes defending the undisputed WWE Championship against Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Duh. Cody.
No, fuck no.
I know it's not.
Oh, sorry.
Being contrarian, Matt. Like, of course Cody's winning.
Yeah, Cody.
And this one's kind of an unpredictable one, in my opinion. Becky Lynch defending the Women's World Championship against Liv Morgan. Becky Lynch, no word that she's resigned, so if she hasn't, her contract's up next week.
No, it ain't happening. She's re-signing, and she's going to win.
I think she re-signs, but Liv wins.
I think Liv wins. 2-1.
Her promo's got to get better. Her promos have got to get better.
We should bet hair or something on these. Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental Championship against Chad Gable. I think it's too soon for Sami to lose. I know I said Becky, but
definitely.
Her contract's up. Sami Zayn, I think Sami Zayn wins. But Chad Gables, it would help put a little rocket strap on him because he's been doing an excellent job as a heel since he turned.
He has. I still want the title on Sami. Sami wins for me.
Glenn?
Yeah, I think Sami.
You've got Sami. And then Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell for the WWE Tag Team Championship. I think we all know that one.
Yes.
Next. Lyra Valkyrie versus Nia Jax for the Queen of the Ring finals. I'm going to go Nia.
Yeah, Nia.
Nia.
And then, and that's it. So, quick rundown of that. And then Double or Nothing. I'm not going to go through the whole card. I'll just go through the top matches. But I think Swerve and Christian Cage, I think we're probably all on the same page.
That's Swerve.
Yeah.
Swerve.
Right? Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, one second. Still bringing up the full card.
Tony's winning.
Mercedes versus Willow for the AEW TBS Championship. I think we've all got Mercedes, right?
It's gonna be Mercedes, but the fans, I don't think they're gonna dig that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tony Storm versus Serena Deeb. I think we all got Tony Storm, right?
Yep.
Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black, barbed wire steel cage match for the AEW TNT Championship. I'm going to go Adam Copeland. I think it's too soon, and Tony doesn't like changing the titles that often. But I would not be surprised to see Malakai win.
How come you're not calling? No, you can't do that. You can't give both. You picked one. Would you?
No, I'm paying Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland.
How come you're not calling him Cope? He wants us to call him Cope now, man. Cope.
I got Cope.
Oh, God, that's so painful. Edge.
Yeah. Do you say Edge or Adam Copeland?
Edge.
It's the hardest one to get used to. Like John Moxley, it took me no time, but.
He's fucking Edge, dude. He's an illustrious career as his character. I know it's his real name, but it's like Sean Hickenbottom, right? It's a weird, I mean, no disrespect. It's a funny name. It's not like Mike Jones or John Smith or, you know, any of our names, right? It's a weird name. Adam Copeland. Hey, look out, folks. Here comes Adam Copeland. No. Here comes Edge. He's going to fuck you up. Like, that's way different. He's just always going to be Edge to me. Just because how many years he's done it. In no disrespect, obviously. Saying that out of respect.
And then Mox defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. It's a non-title match. It's an eliminator match. John Moxley versus Takeshita. And if Takeshita wins, he gets a title shot against Mox.
Okay. I know. I think it's Takeshita then.
I think it's Mox.
Wait, no. He doesn't lose anything if he loses this match, though.
It's New Japan politics. No, they don't want Mox losing before he defends against Evil next month. So Mox is
Even though it's Takeshita, their guy.
Yeah, because they announced Moxley defending the title, so they don't. They feel like, you know, it's.
I'm still gonna take Takeshita just because he made a nice little complaint online. I was happy to see him do it.
Okay. Trent Barretta versus Orange Cassidy. I think Trent Barretta and Don Callis.
How about nobody gives a shit? Is that a choice? Is that a choice? Nobody gives a shit at all. Nobody's watching this pay-per-view or paying a penny to watch it to see this shitter match.
Yeah. And then Jericho defending the FTW for the World Championship against Hook and Shibata.
Again, nobody cares. What did they do to Hook? Hook was so hot for a minute. What did they do to him?
Yeah. I think Jericho beat Shibata just to keep the thing with Hook going.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'll agree with that.
Glenn, being very quiet here.
Because I think that it's, aside from Mercedes, nothing feels like this is a once in a lifetime, first time in a long time, really unique match in AEW. You know, and they're talking about doing more pay-per-views.
I agree.
Yeah, theoretically, this should be their WrestleMania, even though All In kind of took that over. But this is their first pay-per-view, right? Like, it's their anniversary of their first pay-per-view.
And I'm telling you, it's lack of, like, nobody is coming to Vegas for this. But last year or 2 years ago, people did. Yes. Last year, a few people did. This year, no, but even wrestling media that I'm friends with, I'm like, hey, you're going to be in Vegas? Want to hang out? And they're like, not coming.
Because MJF is not involved. That's a big, he was always a big drawing card with them last 2 years.
Honestly, shout to Conrad. StarCast helped because StarCast made it feel more like a vacation destination.
Wait. So why aren't they doing it again?
They haven't done StarCast in years in Vegas. Yeah. AEW did their own thing, but they did like a small thing last year and the year before. Because remember AEW or MJF no-showed that one?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
2 years ago?
I remember that.
Yeah,
2 years ago.
Wait, ask about the main event, Raj. You didn't do that yet.
And then now the main event. The Elite, Okada, Jack Perry, and the Young Bucks against Team AEW, which is Brian Danielson, Darby Allin, and FTR. They did the thing with Darby and the flamethrower, which was kind of cool. I got to go Team AEW. I think the Young Bucks, it's kind of a new act. It's Okada's first real big match. And Jack Perry's first match since he came back as a heel, this kind of manner. So, yeah.
Aren't those all reasons that the other team should win then, Raj?
No, I don't think so. I think the other team, who needs it? I mean, you got FTR, who they're kind of where they are. So I don't see them going up anymore. And then Darby Allin Danielson.
So you think that's enough to cut off the storyline of them whipping Tony Khan's ass and embarrassing him on national television? these people are supposed to have his back and be his comeuppance against what they did to Tony Khan on television. I think it'd be a mistake to end it there at this point. I just do.
Yeah, that's why I think the Elite win, because I feel like you got to keep it going.
I'm so sorry. I thought you said somebody different. I'm sorry.
Oh, did I? I meant the Elite. If I said Team AEW, that's next.
You did.
I meant the Elite. Okay. Yeah, the heels. I see the heels winning.
Yeah, same here.
And that about does it. We got a couple more super chats real quick. Sambanda Chanko asking about thoughts on Bron Breakker's angle on Raw. Glenn, thoughts on NXT in 2024? In my opinion, it's fallen off a cliff quality-wise. Three gallish segments on one show. Ugh. Oh, boy.
You can't get two in at once, but go ahead.
Matt,
why don't you answer the Bron Breakker one, and then Glenn can do the NXT.
I like the Bron Breakker one, actually. I like what they're doing with him right now, him showing attitude and not just being a white meat baby face and cheesy, which is the direction they introduced him in. I like this. He should be pissed off he wasn't in the King of the Ring qualifying tournament. He should be pissed off about that, and I like that. I like him showing his attitude. I love that the general manager is scared shitless of him. I think it's a great thing to help him in his character.
Yeah. So NXT, the issue is they've abandoned a lot of storylines in the last month or two. Like, just stuff stopped happening, or they're jumping onto new things. Like Chase U, it's a new thing every other week. It seems like Rich Collins is involved now.
Why is Chase U your first call out?
Because Chase U is like 25% of the storylines on NXT. And so it's weird that they were really good for a while.
Really?
And now
that much? Wow. Okay.
Well, that's why I'm not watching.
Of the main ongoing storyline. And plus, you don't have Carmelo and Trick anymore, which was a great storyline.
Oh, so good.
Tony, the D'Angelo family is still okay right now, but it just feels like they're in a holding pattern until they go to the CW. Like, they don't want to do anything of consequence. So Battleground is coming up at the UFC Apex in 2 weeks. Tickets, it's selling decently, but tickets are like $150, $250, $350, and $500 for that show.
But that
they
does
have
look
like 500 seats.
But it looks cool. That's a cool setting. I'm gonna watch just because of the setting.
Yeah, but the matches, though, I'm not super excited about the matches. The women's ladder match is gonna be cool.
Who is it?
Sol Ruka. I think Jada Parker is in that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Going to be good for the first North American women's champion. They haven't announced it's going to be someone from the main roster is coming down to face Roxanne Perez for the main women's championship. We'll see how it does. But no, the last couple of weeks, it doesn't feel like the same show it was even 2 months ago on NXT.
Okay.
Bigfoot Sneakerhead with the $1.99 super chat. I agree with Matt. Nobody cares about AEW. Now, I wouldn't say that. Obviously, they got their fan base and they're declining, but they're doing well. Matt?
Over Glenn's head, I'm pointing to it. I'm joking. I don't. I used to. Once upon a time, I really did. I just don't anymore. I'm not doing it because it's sport to hate on AEW either, like every other podcast is. I don't mean it that way. I just, ugh. Tony Storm, MJF, if he's back. I got nothing to be excited about. I don't. Nothing that's going to make me want to watch it when it airs. That makes sense. Hopefully it does.
Oh, I get that.
All right.
Well, there you have it, folks. Pre-tape SmackDown starts soon. I got
a. And real quick, I just want to give a quick plug. Fried Egg Sum saying, Raj, you are behind on the financial newsletters. Check out practicalmoney.co. There will be a new one on Monday. And I talk about Bitcoin, some of these spot ETFs. And I will once again reveal my updated list of ETFs that I currently hold.
What the freak is an ETF?
Electronic.
It's
something fun.
It's like, yeah. So it's, we'll talk about it more later, but it's like an index fund or a mutual fund. Yeah. Except
market's at an all time high. Raj, should people put their money in? The market's at an all time high. Should people put their money in now or wait?
I think you always financial put it funds. In as soon as possible. I put it in all the time. I'm constantly reinvesting automatic every week. So
Raj is constantly putting it in, folks. You heard it here first.
That's what she said.
There you have it. Get that newsletter out, Raj. Money never sleeps. Okay. Matt's at BP Matt Morgan. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. He's at the Raj Geary. Matt and I back tomorrow to talk King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring. See you then. Next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.